ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I feel great. I'm at that really attractive end stage with just a teeny bit of phlegm.
A teeny bit? How much have you hawked up this morning?
Oh, I did hawk a giant loogie before you got here, Jim.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Chris
Sorry,
enjoyed
I missed that.
Woo, thank you for the spittoon. Comes in handy.
Mm-hmm.
6 minutes after the hour.
Also known as the recycling can.
Oops. StephanieMiller.com, the website.
You can't recycle that.
Check it out. Oh, it's not like I have a collapsed lung or something. You know who I really need to talk to on where we are at healthcare. Once again, I'm Representative Adam Smith, whom I love.
Sure.
And you said, Stephanie, he has a collapsed lung from last week. I'm like, that won't stop him from coming on the show. And it hasn't. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you feeling?
Much better, actually. So,
oh, my goodness. I am so sorry that happened to you. This was just last week.
Yeah, it happened Thursday morning. So
now, did it happen arguing with Republicans or what happened?
No, unfortunately, it happened just moments after I got out of bed in the morning. Apparently, it's not that unusual.
Wow,
it does happen with some people if you have a weak spot in your lung that apparently has been there for a long time.
Wow, if you're fighting with obstructionists all day, I can imagine that might
be a little stressful.
Great, well, something else to worry about.
I'm glad you're feeling better, Congressman. Well,
I am.
I'm sure you heard about this new Washington Post ABC News poll. That it's exactly what we had hoped. All this screaming over the summer and the town halls have had no effect whatsoever. Nearly 60% of the American people still want a public option,
right.
Want a meaningful health care reform. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's absolutely true, and I'm a very strong supporter of the public option. I think it introduces competition into the system, and it also gives us the potential to do the type of reform that we need in terms of payment systems and other efficiencies so that, we can start paying for quality instead of paying for quantity, fee-for-service medicine having many shortfalls. And also, I think without question, the American public are dissatisfied with the existing health care system. The great unanswered question, all of those polls, is exactly how we should go about paying for it. And how we should reform the system to make sure that it is more cost-effective. On that, most people are sort of stepping back from it, and that's the tough part, and that's what we've been wrestling with.
Mm-hmm.
How do you reforming the system when you say, okay, we need to reform the system because people don't have enough health care. They want to pay less and get more. I get that, and in many instances, it's necessary. I mean, in my own situation, I think about, what if you get out of bed in the morning, you have a collapsed lung, you don't have any health care, and you don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's an entirely different and utterly terrifying situation,
yep.
And we need to fix that.
I just read a heartbreaking story, Congressman. This morning, a guy nearly 40 had to join the Army. His wife has cancer, and he lost his job, and he looked and looked and looked for a job, couldn't find one. He's, now going to be away. He's got kids, but they could not find any other way to get health care for his wife.
Now, that's not at all surprising, and we need to fix that. But what I try to emphasize to people is that if we're going to fix that, it's not just a matter of passing a bill that says, okay, everybody gets health care no matter what. Our system has so many inefficiencies in it, and we spend so much money already and don't really get a great result, that if we don't fix those things, it's going to be a short-term fix to pass a bill that says, okay, we're just going to give health care to everybody because in a few years we won't be able to afford it anymore. Now, the good news, in my view, is because of those inefficiencies in our current system, it's fixable. We can, for less money, cover more people, or at least for about the same amount of money, cover more people and have a better system. We just have to be able to make those changes.
Congressman, one of the things in the Washington Post ABC News polls, what we've been saying here every day, and that is Americans by 51% to 37% say they'd rather see a plan passed without Republican support. Because I think it's becoming clear that Republicans are just not going to support any form of health care reform. I thought the most notable finding is only 20% of Americans now identify themselves as Republican, the fewest in 26 years.
Yeah. No, I think, there's nothing wrong with, as a starting point, saying, we're going to bring, people together and we're going to have a conversation about how we fix this and we're going to be as inclusive as possible. And I do not criticize President Obama or anybody else for trying to do that. But it does reach a point where you're like, okay, we can't agree on this. This isn't a matter of being partisan. It's a simple matter of having a different public policy opinion here. So we're going to try to get the votes. from who we can get the votes from. So, and I think we're definitely at that point. Enough Republicans have made enough comments basically saying that, you know, they want this thing to fail because Democrats then fail, that it doesn't seem to me like we have too many Republicans to work with, and we should just try to get a bill passed. I agree with that.
Congressman, far be it from me to question the president's strategy, he being far smarter than I am. However, yeah. I'm a little confused, are you, with Valerie Jarrett this weekend saying, you know, here we have these polls, the vast majority of the American people want the public option, the vast majority of Democrats want the public option, including, obviously, people in Congress. She's saying he will not demand the public option. I mean, we've got Max Baucus yesterday saying the public option is still alive. What is the White House doing, do you think? And it's, I mean, what does that mean? Why won't the president demand a public option?
Well, I mean, I think the easy thing, I mean, he himself explained it, I think, quite clearly. I mean, if you don't agree with it, when he gave his speech, you know, a month ago.
He wants it.
Well, yes, but then he also said that the end goal is to cover everybody. And if you can cover everybody without a public option, why would you get in the way of the end goal arguing over the means? That's what he said in his speech. Now, I happen to think, the more I look at it, that the votes are there for a good, strong public option. But I think the president just, you know, wants to say, look, I'm gonna cover more people. We're gonna improve this healthcare system. Now, I mean, again, yeah, I think the votes are there. So I think the argument should be, you know, you push for it, and then if you get to that point where you're not where you want to be, then you can have a conversation about how you're going to compromise and fix it. I think it's putting the cart before the horse to say, we really, 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 really want this, but you know, we don't absolutely have to have it.
I read something interesting yesterday, Congressman Smith. I don't know if you did. It could be the bee in this whole health care bonnet is Senator Roland Burris, who has nothing to lose, says he will not vote for any bill without a robust public option, period.
Right. Yeah, no, it's interesting when you get those people who are, like you said, they have nothing to lose out on an island all by themselves. Yeah, no, I was in the state Senate for 6 years in the majority trying to get votes for a variety of different bills, and it's just fascinating when you've got all the different personalities and where they're coming from and what you have to do to sort of pull them together to get the votes on a difficult issue. And he's definitely one of those interesting wild cards.
I'll say. He said not only will he not vote for it, he will launch himself in a silver balloon away from the Capitol. And
that's utterly believable, by the way. But,
Congressman Adam Smith, we don't want to tax your poor lung any longer. Thanks so much for taking time for us when you're on the mend. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Representative Adam Smith with a collapsed lung from the great state of Washington.
That's right. At least you didn't have a collapsed lung last week.
No.
It sounded
enough.
Like you did.
I was working on it. All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Tweet me, won't you? Or come live blog with me or email me at StephanieMiller.com. You can also email executive producer Kristen Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, Mrs. Taylor over there on phones and drums.
Oh, Mrs. Taylor.
Rebecca Baker.
I want another sugar in my coffee, Mrs. Taylor.
Who up and got married with no permission or anything from me. Hello.
She says she goes home and does the housework in pearls and a dress. Like Donna Reed.
I left yesterday. I'm like, goodbye, Mrs. Cleaver. It's quite startling.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Here's the breaking news Jerry has sent us. Guess what, Chris? This is good news. Should Jim be sick again? At some point, you know, remember that guy at the old show, the fill-in guy for Jim? The only impression he did was Horseshack.
Horseshack, yeah.
Horseshack's in the news.
Really? Wow.
Jim, this would have been a good day for you to be sick.
Yeah.
I think I have a collapsed lung.
Jim can do Horseshack, too.
That's how you get a collapsed lung, trying to do Horseshack.
Do Horseshack.
Yes, the actor who played Horseshack returns to the classroom as a teacher. Welcome back, Horseshack, Ron Palillo. The actor who played Arnold Horseshack in the Welcome Back, Cotter sitcom in the 70s is back in the classroom, no longer the sweat hog. He's now the teacher. The Palm Beach Gardens resident teaches acting to freshmen and sophomores at the in Palm Beach. And there you go.
No, make the laugh funnier. Like, inhale.
Yeah, you got it. That's comedy. Are you still in touch with that guy who does Horseshack?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that recommendation, Jim. That wasn't in any way to make you look better, was it? I have a fill-in voice guy.
Oh, he's great.
He's terrific. I'll never forget the look on Chris and my face. We were like, he's not so much in the news right now.
This being stand-up news, something a little more
do anybody
topical.
In the news?
Someone you do Bill Clinton? Yeah, he really couldn't do Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton was really
that sounded
in the
like
news.
Everybody does Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I know.
Well, ask Monica. No, that's not what I meant.
It's like anyone does Reagan. All you got to do is say, well.
Yeah.
Will.
Yeah.
See? All right. At least Jim's good at guess the quote. All right.
Almost just a spit take.
All right. Oh, this also, here's a little hint. This is a personal hero of mine now for a very important reason.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Who said the wailing and gnashing of teeth that you hear among Republicans is 68% envy and 32% sour grapes? Here's an idealistic, articulate young president who is enormously popular everywhere in the world except in the states of the Confederacy. And here sit the 28% of the American people who still thought Mr. Bush was doing a heck of a job at the end, gnashing their teeth, hoping and praying for something horrible to happen, such as an infestation of locusts or the disappearance of the sun, something to make the president look bad, which is not a good place for a political party to be, hoping for the country to slide into chaos. When you bet against America, you are choosing long odds. Who said that?
Judy Carn.
No. Garrison Keillor.
Oh.
Garrison
close.
Keillor in a fabulous Betting Against America article. Jim!
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's a scratchy voice. Who said because we are passionately patriotic people infused with the love of our history and our land, and so we have limited patience for fools such as the ones who now dominate the right? Conservatism is a powerful strain in American life that ordinarily passes as common sense, save for a rainy day, don't foul the nest, don't burn your bridges, don't sacrifice the future for short-term profit. But when it contradicts itself and becomes weighted down with bigotry and cynicism, then it doesn't hold water anymore.
Joanne Worley.
I loved her.
She's not dead.
Garrison Keillor. I know, I loved her on the
Okay.
And that laugh.
All right.
Someone send us a Joanne Worley laugh. There must be an MP3 somewhere. Okay. Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Who said, F. Scott Fitzgerald said, the test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. And conservatives tried to keep functioning through the Bush administration, but the contradictions wore them down. And last fall, when the federal government wrote a blank check to stave off collapse of the financial sector, conservative principles came crashing to the ground, and now they have all they have in common is that they don't like President Obama. Okay, but resentment of an American president being honored by the Norwegians is not a good point from which to build a Republican revival. Petulant fury isn't a winning hand in politics. Get over it.
Hardy Johnson.
No! Garrison Keillor. Betting against America. Oh, would you like to know why? He's my personal hero now. Could I have my fine American music, please?
All right.
You know, Mama has a horrific insomnia problem.
Yes.
Although I did find that Lunesta and hydrocodone cough medicine works quite well.
Lunesta and hydrocodone?
Yeah, that was...
And red wine. Wow.
And red wine and my dog's pain medicine. That worked the other night. However, Mom is not a drug person, as you know, generally.
Well, you're mixing drugs like that.
I'm sick.
Keith Richards.
Yes.
On a bender.
A drug is a drug, whether it's illegal or not.
Okay, so you want to know what a sleep specialist told me?
What?
And another friend of mine does this, too, and he says it works. You get a podcast of people telling stories and listen to them before you go to sleep. And so I use Garrison Keillor, and it works.
Oh.
No offense. I find him fascinating. It's just he makes me, you know.
It's just the pace.
Yeah, because it disconnects your own stories in your brain if you can't shut your brain off. So it's
and
like you listen to...
moving at a much slower pace.
Yeah, yeah. It turns your brain off.
Yeah, Prairie Home Companion or whatever. Yeah. But that's my favorite podcast.
I can't fall asleep unless I have the TV on, much the same way.
Brain.
Thank you, Garrison Keillor. Jim, not now. Don't do it now. I have to be awake for the next 3 hours.
For all the children above average.
And yeah, see? You know what I'm saying? See, now it hypnotizes me. I can't help it. I'm like, no.
And the ketchup council.
But I have
and
all
the
these podcasts
biscuits.
That my friend helped me download, but that's my favorite, is Garrison Keillor. Yeah.
You don't know how to download a podcast?
He showed me, but now when he comes back to my house, I'll know how to get the new ones. But anyway, my point is, it works like a charm. So I fall asleep with the, you know, drooling with a great hearings on my chest and then my podcast, you know. All right. Hey, let's talk about Balloon Boy. It's been almost 20 minutes. All right.
You guys said that we did this for a show.
A sort of puzzled little boy, leading many to have concern that all of this might have been manufactured for the spotlight.
Explain the show.
I can't think of anything as pathetic than a wannabe reality star.
Yeah. Reality star is pathetic enough. Yeah.
What did he mean, we did this for the show?
I don't know why you were in the attic, okay, for so long. Why you, Say it again.
There was a publicity stunt. done with the hopes of marketing themselves or through a reality television show.
Conspiracy, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, false reporting to a public official, attempting to influence a public officer. These are felonies.
I'm kind of appalled after all of the feelings that I went through, up and down, that you guys are trying to suggest something else. Okay? I'm really appalled because
he's touching the ground. 5, 4, 3. He's trying to grab the balloon on the ground.
Thank you, listener Ken and Cleaver. Wow, Jim, he's a bad actor. I'm appalled. I'm appalled.
I am appalled and shocked.
After the crap we've been through, no.
How dare
no.
you?
No, hoax. No.
Have you at long last no decency left?
And see. All right, 21 minutes.
It totally was one of those fly-by-night acting schools. Seriously. That just milk you for all the money you have.
Oh.
It's like when someone in acting class would do a horrible crying scene. And then and scene. Okay, thank you. 21 minutes after the hour. Like John Boner.
All right. Yes,
exactly. Actually, he's pretty good at it.
Back with the latest Balloon Boy information so that you can go on with your lives.
Daddy, lies make me barf.
Now, he's a method actor. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Margaret Cho on the show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So great.
Awesome.
Can't wait to hear what she has to say about a Balloon Boy.
Oh, God.
Actually. Have you seen the lawyer for Balloon Family?
Oh, boy.
A little bit, slippery. He said, let's see, he expects authorities to bring charges against his client in the coming days as investigators reanalyze emails that show Richard Heen and associate discussing this stunt months ago. Lawyer David Lane said that maybe charges, when is it, what's the date, tomorrow, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He said if the prosecutors can prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt, that's one thing. If they can't prove their case, that's another.
It's another problem right there.
Yeah, did he do it? Yeah.
Yeah,
can they prove it?
Mm. So? Is he from Chicago?
What's your point?
No.
No, we just want him to be. We just make everyone with a Chicago accent.
Okay. Accent. So that guy over there.
Yeah. Investigators say they want to question an associate of his after emails surfaced showing the two had discussed the hoax as part of a PR campaign for a reality show.
Oops.
Hmm. Robert Thomas of Denver claims Heen told him he was planning a media stunt to promote a proposed reality show. Thomas, a self-described researcher. Much like Richard Heeney is a amateur scientist, sold his story to Gawker.com and provided the web with the website with email exchanges between him and Heeney. They said the show would feature Heeney as a mad scientist who carries out various scientific experiments.
A mad amateur scientist. Gee, I hope pets haven't been disappearing from their neighborhood. Oh.
Oh, dear. Not that
Jim.
Kind. Not yeah. It's a wow. This becomes more than 10 kinds of crazy. We will continue with the details of this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Catch your name.
Oh, right, sorry. This is
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, how fun!
Dow is down 7 points. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. We have a big show. We have Charlie Pierce, whom we love.
That's right.
Humorist extraordinaire coming up next hour. Representative Frank Pallone next hour.
Not Frank Stallone.
No.
No. Oh, no.
No.
Not.
No, guy from Jersey, Congress critter. Okay, all right, so Balloon Boy, investigators poring over emails, phone records, financial documents from the home of Richard Heeney.
Mm-hmm.
He of the anger Mr. management
Heeney.
Problem.
Yeah.
It sounds more like a sitcom than a reality show.
And he has such a
Mr. Heeney.
He has such a total early 90s haircut, you know, with the
yeah.
with the line, you know, that's kind of shaved around the head.
Yeah. So they are weighing felony charges and seeking to determine who else might have helped the hoax get off the ground. So that it could be, I don't know, the sheriff's office said findings could be forwarded to prosecutors next week to decide if they'll be charged with felonies or not. So here's the other interesting thing. Documents show a media outlet agreed to pay the Heaneys. They didn't name the organization, but it said it was an industry that blurs the line between entertainment and news. Blurs the line between... I don't know.
I think he's talking more like Extra or Entertainment Tonight or The Insider or something like that.
I think he's talking about... who likes crazy conspiracy theories and blurs the line between...
I just love my country so much.
Remember when the balloon was in the sky? It was like the day after 9/11. Remember how we all came together?
Balloon Boy has a deep-seated hatred for white people.
Okay.
Get off my phone!
All right. The Superficial with my favorite headline. The Superficial, Balloon Boy's parents are in some...
Oh.
Falcon Heaney, now known as Balloon Boy until the day he dies,
yes,
might be getting a new mommy and daddy.
Oh, boy.
His parents, Richard and Mayumi, are facing charges of conspiracy and contributing to the delinquency of a minor, false reporting to the authorities. So here's the fun facts. Superficial is the only place I've read all the, the 10 kinds of crazy with this. Robert Thomas, a former assistant of Richard Heaney's, gave an interview to Gawker that revealed Falcon's dad was planning to use a UFO-like weather balloon to generate publicity for a reality show, which he would then use to warn the masses about lizard people. I'm not even joking.
Lizard people. Oh, that, okay, because he thought that Hillary Clinton was one of the lizard people.
But actually, everyone knows it was really Cindy McCain.
Yeah, Cindy McCain.
Exactly, he was an alien from V. Hillary Clinton. Lizard people don't chuckle warmly, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
He was motivated by theories like reptilians, the idea that there are alien beings that walk among us and are shapeshifters, able to resemble human beings and running the upper echelon of our government. Somehow a secret government has covered all this up since the U.S. was established. The only way to get... Come on! You know this was Glenn Beck that was going to pay them. Somehow a secret government has covered all this up since the U.S. was established. The only way to get the truth out there is to use the mainstream media to raise Richard to a status of celebrity so he could communicate with the masses.
So that's why George Washington kept his mouth shut. It wasn't the teeth. It was his lizard tongue.
Yes.
He kept poking out.
Yes. People would see it flick. Richard, he writes...
Yeah, because George Washington used contacts to hide his reptilian eyes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Wooden contacts, clearly. Much like wooden teeth.
Sure, you can't see through them. It defeats the purpose, but still. It covers your lizard likeness.
Yes.
Richard likes to talk a lot about the possibility of the sun erupting in a large-scale solar flare that wipes out the Earth. It got to the point where he was really pressing me, saying, we're running out of time, we're running out of time, the end of the world's coming. Maybe we only have 4 minutes to save the world, who knows?
Could be. Was he like one of those Hale-Bopp cult member types?
If
only I had a spaceship. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. And we have to take necessary precautions to make sure that we're not among the majority that's going to be killed. The Superficial writes, at this point, we can only wait and see how much more... that shoots out of the situation, but it's safe to assume that there'll be charges coming for John Gosselin. No, seriously, I wondered how he could be so stupid to steal $200,000 from his joint account with Kate. Now I realize it was to fund this entire debacle so he no longer looked like the most retarded dad in America.
Oh.
And women would want to touch his penis again. Oh, Superficial. That's just wrong.
That was very superficial of you.
That was really... .com.
TheSuperficial.com.
Exactly.
Yes.
Very snarky. All right, and now a story about a bear. I just wanted to say that. I've always wanted to say that.
Now
it's a story
about a bear.
About bear and
beer.
Story
about bear and beer. A Wisconsin grocery store faces a cleanup on its beer aisle. Did you see this? As a bear decided to take a stroll through the store. The 125-pound black bear wandered into the liquor department at Marketplace Foods Thursday night. The store says there were no customers in the store at the time. The bear went up and down the aisles before ending up in a beer cooler where he climbed into a shelf. Employees say the bear was calm and seemed content.
Sure.
Who wouldn't be surrounded by beer?
Not just the malted liquor. What gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
We
can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to hear.
Beer.
I mean, that refuse it. I could really use a beer.
We have audio of the
the bear in the beer place.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, what's the guy got to do to get a drink around here? Hello? Ooh, ham's my favorite. Why? Because it's got a bear on the can. Bears and beer, they go together like beer and pizza. Ooh, pizza! Normally I don't mind cold pizza, but frozen, not the same. Damn, only I could use a microwave. Damn clumsy paws. Forget the microwave. How about working the pull tab in the can? Ah, screw it. Wait a minute. Don't bottles have screw tops these days? Yeah, here we go. Dang it, I wish I had thumbs. Oh, crap, here comes a fuzz. Oh, come on, guys, not the tranquilizer dart again. I just want a cold one. Oh, crap. Hey, you guys, hope you don't have to use the John. I left the big steamer in the bowl for you. For once, this bear ain't pooping in the woods.
What bear song is that?
Oh, BJ McKay, and this is my best friend Bear.
That's so weird that you had that. Cindy in Michigan on Balloon Boy. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Steph. Now, this Balloon Boy's dad, do we know anything about his politics? Because it seems like he would fit in with the Tea Party people.
Yeah. He seems to be his own kind of crazy. Well, but he does seem Glenn Beck crazy, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he has that fascination with tinfoil, making the biggest tinfoil hat at the party or something.
Exactly. That is the biggest tinfoil hat ever.
I would love to see him at a tea party because that would just slam dunk who these people would be like, who they are.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Cindy, thank
Bye-bye.
You. Yes, I have no information on that.
Oh, Stephanie?
Yes.
Speaking of things that you think are weird that I have.
Yes.
Jim and Saginaw sent this along because you had asked for it. Joanne Worley.
Thank you. Thank you. I can die now. Joanne. Is it just me? Am I the only one that shares a weird love of Joanne Worley?
I love Joanne Worley.
Of all things Joanne Worley. Oh, loved her. Way better than Ruth Buzzy. Okay.
I not way better, but better.
Yes. I like Ruth Buzzy. I'm just saying, she's no Joanne Worley.
That's right. And Ruth Buzzy was on The Lost Saucer. The Lost Saucer.
Okay, that's weird that you know that, and it's weird that you have a bear song. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Well, Bear wasn't a bear in BJ and the Bear.
What's
Bear
more,
was a monkey.
What's more dangerous than a bear on the loose in the beer aisle?
What?
A rogue senator from Illinois on the health care issue. We'll tell you all about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, the Dow down 31 points. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll-free from anywhere. All right. Oh, boy.
What?
Roland. Senator Roland Burris. This is an interesting little twist to health care that I mentioned to Congressman Smith earlier on the show. He says he will only vote for a bill to provide health care to millions more Americans as long as it has a public option in it.
I think he mentioned that when he was on the Stephanie Miller
News. Miller program.
Yes.
Of which he's a big fan.
He is.
I hope he enjoyed the story about the beer and the bear.
Well, who wouldn't?
And he says he will not compromise. He said, I won't support a bill that does not have a public option. That position will not change. This caught the attention, as you can imagine, of some Democratic leaders who have tried to keep Burris out of the Senate, suggested he resign and shunned him in unprecedented fashion. Burris, not the only Democrat to insist on the public option, of course, but he's the one with the least to lose.
That's right.
By defying President Obama and Democrats who, as you remember, literally kept him out in the rain. He will not vote for any version, in fact, of the public option other than the full-blown one from the Senate health bill. is what he says. He won't vote, in fact, for the trigger option proposed by Senator Snow. He, the committee's health proposal, he says, must be in the final bill to earn his vote. Yes, that's the one, he said. Things are getting interestinger and interestinger, aren't they?
You know, I kind of like Roland Burris. Seriously.
I'm like, okay.
Yes.
Let's go to, I love they've been spending how many months sucking up to Olympia Snow and friggin' Esmeralda, Senator Ghostly. And now they're like,
Burris. Roland Burris.
Be taking him out to lunch every day, giving him a pedicure while they're feeding him in the Senate dining room.
You know what? That's a smart politician. He's a smart, he has people where he wants them.
Yeah. Julie in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Balloon Boy. Hi, Jules.
Hi there, Stephanie. Last night on Anderson Cooper, they did a little, showed one of the outtakes or what they were filming before they went on the air of when Wolf Blitzer was interviewing the kid.
Uh-huh.
And his lovely daddy asked him, he says, oh, you know, you get to meet Wolf Blitzer. And the kid turns to his dad and says, who in the hell's Wolf? It's funnier than hell. If you can find that bit, it would be great.
Oh, boy. All right. Thank you, Julie. Yeah,
who in the hell is Wolf?
That kid is precious.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
I would like to hear Wolf Blitzer read that children's story someday, Jim. yeah, I told you on Wife Swap, little Falcon, mm-hmm. when he was told the new rules, yelled, these rules!
Oh, that's charming.
So magical of a six-year-old. That is, oh, that's precious. Okay, so Senator Max Baucus says the public option is alive. It's alive. He said we're just
alive. Mm-hmm. It's alive.
He said he's just not sure what type. He said the goal is to include something in the bill that keeps premiums down, insurance companies honest. He cited several permutations of the public option proposals under discussion. Including what he described as Medicare Lite, the robust public option. Yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes. Even playing field proposed by Chuck Schumer, and then there's co-ops. Mm.
Computer says no.
No.
No. That's not the preferred permutation of the Stephanie Miller Show.
No.
Okay.
Nor of Roland Burris.
No. Which I don't think he's factoring in the Burris factor.
That's right.
Just saying. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson on Balloon Boy. Hello, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Mook.
Mm, morning.
Yes.
Now, this family was on Wife Swap, yeah?
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Well, when I was head of communications for Tucson Roller Derby, I got a call from the producers of Wife Swap. They were looking for a roller girl's family to participate in the show.
Wow.
So I passed that around the league, and pretty much everybody turned it down because it was just too damn tacky.
These are people that are already involved in roller derby, no offense. But they thought it might be tacky to have that televised.
Yeah, seriously.
Yes, okay.
Oh, God.
All right, thank you, Lavender. I'm sure Mr. Pitt wouldn't want you slopped with anybody. Oh, he's sure.
Oh, well.
Put me on hold or something.
She'll take your question off the air.
Apparently she's busy.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, she's a school teacher, too. Roller Derby Queen is a school teacher.
All right. Rahm Emanuel, White House Chief of Staff, talking about health care this weekend.
The entire healthcare process has been fully public. And
this is the most important part.
Yeah, and everybody's been is going to continue to be involved.
That's not what the boner said, Jim. The boner said it was the dark of night.
It's the dark of night. This is the top of our list. It's the dark of night.
We feel that he neglected to open the tanning bed. Maybe that's why it just seemed dark.
It seemed dark, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was still closed.
He forgot to wear his goggles in the tanning bed.
And his pupils had just completely closed shut. So, you know, everything looks dark after the tanning bed turns off.
I think that would be funny if he showed up, if he had fallen asleep in the tanning bed and he just has those two white. He did wear the goggles, but just the white dots around his eyes. I think that would be funny. Okay. So I was mentioning this to Congressman Smith earlier. President Obama, listen, I'm just hoping it's chess and checkers. I've been saying that for so long. I don't get it. Valerie Jarrett, as everybody's been talking about, said this weekend, he is the president. He wants a public. See, I don't get it. 60% of the American people at least want a public option. Vast majority of all the Democratic lawmakers want a public option. The president wants a public option.
Mm-hmm.
So why? Why isn't he demanding a public option? I don't...
Why do we keep appeasing Republicans?
That's what I don't get.
Push forward, certainly, but he's also realistic to say we've got to look at all options. He has said very clearly he thinks it's the best option, and we'll see what happens.
So he's not demanding that it's in there?
He's not demanding that it's in there. He thinks it's the best possible choice. Whatever.
You know, the White House would be, you know, would do themselves some good to have a united front. It sounds like there are a bunch of people from the White House with all different... Yeah,
I don't, maybe I'm missing something, but I don't, you know, it's like I've said, if you're negotiating for anything, you walk on a car lot and go, you know, I would like to pay 40 for that. I mean, I'll pay 50. I don't want to, but I'll pay. It's like, no. Oh, don't say that. Okay. Yeah. Senator Chris Dodd, obviously a proponent of the public option.
My hope is that when we bring these two bills together over the next number of days, that we'll present to the Senate an option that includes that strong public option.
All right. Even Arlen Specter, he's you know what I think he's feeling the pressure from, Chris?
What?
Congressman Joe Sestak's frequent appearances on the Stephanie Miller newscast,
and
including Ned Lamont's new endorsement of him on the Stephanie Miller newscast yesterday. I think he's feeling the heat.
Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared to recede at all. I think the public option is gaining momentum.
Yeah. You just better.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe Sestak thinks that too. So
listen, he's not the first person to have felt the enormous terror and reach of the Stephanie Miller show.
I'm just glad Ned Lamont and Joe Sestak chose the Stephanie Miller show to announce Ned Lamont's endorsement.
Boy, howdy. Andrew in Arlington, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
We cannot stay away from the shiny object that is Balloon Boy, can we, Andrew?
I know.
All right.
I watched it, and I don't think Balloon Boy is the appropriate name.
Okay.
It's like, it looked like flying Jiffy Pop to me.
Yeah.
Like Jiffy Pop.
Well, he was never in the balloon, so we really should call him Balloon Boy. We should call him like Box Boy or something.
Yes. I did think that immediately after it landed, and it was like, oh, whew, thank God, no dead boy. Is there popcorn? You know, I mean, that was your next thought. No, God, thank God, no boy in there. Okay. However,
what, there's a falcon in
there. Are there snacks?
No, he wasn't even in the attic.
He wasn't in the attic.
He was,
that just part was
on the swings at the park.
Oh, boy.
They think, Swing they
boy.
Don't know. They don't
we
know
don't
where
know.
He was.
That family lies.
Really?
You lie.
I hadn't noticed that. We need to load the entire liar cannon for that Heaney family.
The entire cannon?
Yes.
Liars. You know who you are, and you know who you want. Ain't nobody going to change that.
What? You're a bald-faced liar. A liar.
What's it like to be a liar, huh? You like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
You sit on a throne of lies.
You, sir, are a liar. Liar, liar, your pants are on fire!
I got more. I can keep going.
Okay, one more. All right, are you finished?
No, I can do more.
Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, I think the answer to this is to have all Wall Street and the billionaires pay for this health care. They're the ones who have bled us to this point. We have them in numbers. They have us in power. I think it's time to overpower them. The people need to rise up against this. This is getting serious.
You say you want a revolution. Is that what you're talking about,
yeah,
Mike?
And, you know, let's have a peaceful one if we can and demand our country back.
Okay.
You say you want a revolution. No.
I don't think that's going to work.
We all want to change the
Hey, Goldman Sachs, give us our money. No? Okay, never mind.
We want a robust public. Oh, it's Balloon Boy. Something shiny.
Ooh, shiny. Oh. Ooh, Jiffy Pop.
Ooh, not Ooh. Much can tear me away from a semi-celebrity eating
yummy
a bug.
Jiffy Pop.
Ooh, it's a shiny. Ooh, popcorn. Okay. We are easily distracted. And you know who's a big part of the problem?
Stephanie Miller.
Yes!
That's right.
Yes. I'm sitting in hair and makeup on Ed Schultz, getting ready to talk about health care and something important. And then I was like, oh,
ooh,
Balloon Boy's landed. Oh, is he safe? Oh. 57. I was happy to be bumped. I was like, I need to know more about
this. Oh, Stephen Baldwin just ate a bug on TV. Ooh, look.
57 minutes after the hour. Back with Charlie Pierce and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, twitter.com/SM show. That's where all the fun's happening. You get real-time updates from Mom. Just a few minutes ago from me. Hi, everyone. Lucky you're not in the studio with Mom. I'm hocking up big wads of phlegm every few minutes. How's breakfast, kids?
Paula writes, complete breakfast.
Thanks, Mama. I was hoping for pancakes. Not hungry now, though.
Complete says no.
No pancakes. Sorry.
Well, you can put lung butter on those pancakes.
StephanieMiller.com is the regular old website. You can email us all there, live blog with us. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Baker, Mrs. Taylor, as we call her now. Yes. She just done got married and all.
Mm-hmm. She is going to change her last name as soon as the paperwork comes in.
Is she really? Yeah. So she will really be Mrs. Taylor on phones and drums.
Yes.
It just doesn't sound as cool. All right. 1-800-STEP-12.
Poodle skirt.
All right. Charlie Pierce, humorist extraordinaire, coming up this hour. Representative Frank Pallone and MSNBC's David Schuster, all of whom we love.
That's right.
Coming up next hour on the Celebrity Hotline. All right. So, someone sent it along. Falcon Heaney, before he barfed on one of many media personalities.
Mm-hmm.
This is what all adults must have started to sound like. Blah! Thank you. Someone sent me Charlie Brown's teacher. What was that, Jim? A trumpet or something?
Muted trombone, I believe.
Love it.
Mute.
All right.
Toilet plunger that you put at the front of the thing. Mm. Yeah.
You know me, I can never get enough Balloon Boy montages.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
Balloon Boy.
I got bumped from the Ed Show by frickin' Balloon Boy.
The one thing we know about this kid is he was not in a balloon. We should call him Attic Boy.
So let me just ask you right now, just put it out there and get your honest answer. Was this a hoax or a publicity stunt?
This poor kid literally got sick trying to suppress his father's lie.
This whole thing is a total hoax. It's a media creation.
Balloon Boy's dad is obviously some creepy fame whore.
I think that they feel duped, they feel fooled, the public feels fooled, we all feel fooled, and we feel like we want this guy to suffer.
As I said, this is, it has been determined that this is a hoax, that it was a publicity stunt.
Get your ass in jail! Take me to jail! Take me to jail!
Thank you, Shana.
I think the next time someone perpetrates a hoax, it'll be called pulling a Heaney. Yes. Oh, Jim and Saginaw sent along another piece of audio. It's Balloon Boy saying, "Who the hell is Wolf?"
Hmm.
Who the hell is Wolf?
How dare you? I am a steam
journalist. Get off the set.
Who do you think you are, Jack Cafferty? All right. Hey, Jim, it's from the Department of No Sherlock. Beer pong will give you swine flu?
Mm.
What? You mean, how is it you play that, Chris? You throw
beer
dirty ping pong balls in cups of beer.
I've only played it in the last few years. Mm. But, yeah, you throw ping pong balls into your opponent's filled beer cups,
yes,
and they have to drink that
yes
beer.
Oh, hmm. Well, who could have seen that coming?
Yeah.
Officials are warning students of sharing cups during a game of beer pong will lead to the spread of swine flu.
Or really any kind of flu. It doesn't have to be of the swine variety.
Chlamydia? Scabies? Something. I'm sure you can get a lot of things.
Rickets.
Chlamydia?
Rabies. Creutzfeldt-Jakob?
Julie sends along a story. Mama, only a very immature person, their development arrested at, say, 13 or 14, would find this amusing.
Stephanie Miller. All right.
Yes.
That's our sweet spot.
Los Angeles man charged with posing as fertility doctor in order to molest sperm donors. Oh, that's not. That's not. Ooh, he's a looker. An Arizona man faces criminal charges for allegedly posing as a fertility doctor so he could sexually molest men while pretending to give them physical examinations.
Oh, my God.
Jeffrey Graybill advertised online offering people up to $4,000 monthly for sperm donations to support stem cell research. He's accused of stealing the identity of a San Francisco doctor and posing as Dr. Richardson. Or Dr. Richardson. Dr. Richardson.
Of horror.
Paging Dr.
Dr. Furrier. It's of horror.
Eddie, Los Angeles clinic. He was allegedly pretending to be a doctor operating a sperm clinic. He would know what. How many times have I heard that?
Bad old ploy. Oh, are you okay over there?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
A little more lung butter, sorry.
Yeah.
He would pay for sperm donors, and two males showed up to donate.
Be a lung butter donor.
And he allegedly conducted exams and sexually fondled them. That is terrible. All right, from the Department of Racist Republicans, today's nominees from Tommy in Columbus, two South Carolina County Republican Party chairmen stepped up to rebut criticism of Senator Jim DeMint, Republican of South Carolina, in a newspaper editorial Sunday. Their defense of the senator, though, might be overshadowed by their use of an anti-Semitic stereotype to praise him. Ugh. After a Democratic state senator wrote in the state that DeMint didn't bring enough money back home, Bamberg County GOP Chairman Edwin Merwin, and Orangeburg County GOP Chairman James Ulmer responded that he was just looking after the nation's pennies. Uh-huh. Like a Jehu would.
He didn't say that.
Oh, my God.
Hang on, got it here. Merwin wow. and Ulmer recently wrote a letter to the editor of a local paper responding to another letter that had criticized Senator Jim DeMint. In it, they wrote, and I quote, "There's a saying that the Jehus who are wealthy got that way not by watching dollars, but instead by taking care of the pennies and the dollars taking care of themselves. By not using earmarks to fund projects for South Carolina instead of using actual bills, DeMint is watching our nation's pennies and trying to preserve our country's wealth and our economy's viability to give all the opportunity to succeed. He's watching the pennies like a yahoo."
I think he changed his name from DeMint.
Jesus, thrifty isn't yahoo. What? I'm defending him.
What, you like that? How about he's thrifty as a Scotsman?
You know, I had a, way back in the day.
Yeah.
When Mama was starting a stand-up, one of my friends from Buffalo, New York that I started the Yuck Yucks thing with was Eric Newsbaum.
Oh, Newsbaum?
Yeah, and I remember he got pulled over in the South once going to do a gig. And he said, the cop literally said, "Can I see your license?" Newsbaum. Are you a Jew?
Oh, it means nut tree.
Yeah, and he somehow thought that wasn't a...
Nussbaum.
Yeah, probably a good question.
Yeah, definitely.
In Georgia.
Are you a Jew? You know you're in trouble if they start to make three syllables out of
yeah,
the word Jew.
Yeah, only should yeah. be one syllable in Jew.
I think you might be a Jew. Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Somehow he somehow sussed out that perhaps that was not an innocent question.
What kind of name is that?
Oh, all right.
Are you a Muslim?
You might as well start the music again. Gee, here's a surprise. The unprecedented number of death threats against President Obama rise in racist hate groups and a new wave of anti-government fervor threatened to overwhelm the U.S. Secret Service, according to government officials and reports raising new questions about the 144-year-old agency's overall mission.
Well, I thought they were just questioning his policies. It's not because he's black. That's crazy.
Yeah, like we needed any more quantifiable evidence that a lot of this is based on racism. Okay. Hey, speaking of which, Michael Steele, y'all. Is this on his What Up blog, or was this somewhere else? He wrote. He has rules for.
He does.
For immigrants.
Oh.
Yes, RNC Chair Michael Steele defended the use of illegal alien to describe undocumented immigrants. Elsewhere in the interview, he described the GOP as the party of assimilation.
Right.
That's funny.
Oh my gosh.
Did he explain how they're the party of assimilation?
No, not really. Okay. He offered his advice for how immigrants should approach entering America. He said, we should be saying is that there are rules that you need to get into the country, go in the right door, fill out the form, have some apple pie, hum a few bars of the Star Spangled Banner, get to work, God bless you. I think that begins to set us on the right road to dealing with the issue.
You need to have some apple pie in order to become an American.
Apparently. What if you want a churro?
A churro?
Exactly.
Churros are delicious.
Yes, or a chalupa.
Or a chimichanga.
Exactly.
A chalupa.
No, apparently that should be required is the eating of the apple pie.
A chalupa is not Mexican. A chalupa is Taco Bellian.
Oh, exactly.
There's nothing Mexican about a chalupa.
My biggest connection to the culture is that I'm good friends with Carlos Alzraki.
Yes. And
who
he's
played Rocky the voice chalupa. Of the Taco Bell Chihuahua.
And he's Argentinian. He's not even...
I rest my case. All right, we have the rest of Michael Steele's thoughts.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The GOP is the party of ass. Michelle Bachmann got a nice round ass. Sometimes I can't help myself and grab a handful of when I'm walking behind her. And she always lets out the same schoolgirl squeal and tells me that I be the man, and then she gets that crazy look in her eyes.
Well, she always has a crazy look in her eyes, but something tells me she's not getting any at home. Man, I would so tap that. Of course, myself, I have quite the capacious booty, and you should see the badonkadonk on Mitch McConnell. That man is all ass. What?
Huh?
There's something wrong with the teleprompter? Oh, the GOP is the party of assimilation. Okay. Like I was saying, the GOP is the party of assimilation. I could sum it up for you this way. The party, as I said, is always the party. It's been the party of assimilation where we basically are saying, hey, Hispanics, there are rules you need to get into the country. You know, have a hum a few bars in the national anthem, which shouldn't be hard because it's about a guy named Jose. You know, oh, Jose, can you see? I know. Have some apple pie, some biscuits and gravy, and some high fructose corn syrup, and some Oreos. What's better than Oreos and milk? Nothing. Because that's just how we roll, baby. Peace out.
Oh, boy.
That's only slightly less comprehensible.
Tim Madison has a South Carolina joke. Hello, Tim.
You know what? I'm now changing from South Carolina. I think anyone who comes from the South should not be allowed to leave the South without a passport.
Stop it, Tim. No. I grew up in the South,
go,
Tim.
If you want to go down to the South, you need a passport because, Tim, with all the racist crap coming out of there.
Tim.
They're there now.
There's plenty of racism in the North.
Yes, there is. And there are plenty of progressives in the South,
yep.
Believe
Let's
me.
Talk about the boners like from Ohio.
Yes.
Tom in San Bernardino, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to validate your pronunciation of John Boner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally blind. I use a screen reader for my computer work.
Mm-hmm.
And John Boner is pronounced by my screen reader this way.
John Boner.
That's great. Thank you, Tom.
And just to prove it is spelled
O-E-G-N.
Whoops, I got it wrong, but there it is.
O-E-G-N-E-R.
Well, I got the G in there, but you got the idea.
I got it, Tom. Thank you very much. The case is closed now. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're the smartest boy in class today.
His name is John Boner.
He is a boner.
You can trust me because I am a computer.
He is an overly tan, blubbery boner.
B-O-E-H-N-E-R, boner.
We're going to have that pronunciation after the show, and I'll put it in my little
Thank
box
you.
Here.
When two vowels go walking, I think I've explained it before.
When two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking.
Oh, what? I have an edition of What a Boner. I totally forgot. Why don't we get to that now?
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner.
Oh, this will be a fun sack for all you folks in Ohio, where things are pretty bad, I understand, unemployment-wise and otherwise. The boner, the Ohio Republican, is raising money while staying in some of the finest hotels, dining in gourmet restaurants, and golfing on famous golf courses. A Gannett analysis shows that Boner has walked the fairways of the Greenbrier Resort's famed old white course in scenic West Virginia, where greens fees run $195. Golf legends Ben Hogan and Arnold Palmer have played. He has stayed at the Peninsula Beverly Hills, the highest-rated luxury hotel in Southern California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheapest room is $500 a night. He dined at Bar Boulud.
Of what?
I don't know.
Hmm?
Upper East Side, New York, city, whose chef has been honored for his contribution to French culture. French? What? His expenses have included nearly $1 million for airfares, hotels, and meals.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and raising money for other Republicans.
Huh.
The Freedom Project, it's called. I guess it's a project that involves having John Boner be free to eat at fancy places on
French
other people's dimes. Play golf at fancy places, too. Interesting. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Charlie Pierce coming up in just a few minutes, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. Well, boy, howdy, I was just mentioning the Secret Service is almost overwhelmed between the rise of death threats against the president, racist hate groups, anti-government flavin.
Whatever.
A new focus group of Republican-based voters by Democracy Corps presents a picture of the Republican base as being motivated by a fundamentally different worldview than folks in the middle or on the Democratic side, and they see the country as being under a dire threat.
A dire threat?
Because there's a black fella in the White House. It's a White House, and there ain't no black folk in the White House.
Oh, my goodness, he's black. Why do you think they call it a White House?
Except black people build it, largely. So.
Yeah, just FYI, TTK. They believe Obama is ruthlessly advancing a secret agenda to bankrupt the United States and dramatically expand government control to an extent nothing short of socialism, the analysis says. While these voters are disdainful of a Republican Party they view to have failed in its mission, they overwhelmingly view a successful Obama presidency as the destruction of this country's founding principles and are committed to seeing the president fail. The analysis argues Obama's unpopularity among conservative Republicans is both quantitatively and qualitatively different from liberal Democratic ire against George Bush. We said that. It was his policies. Right. It was his unnecessary war. It was his, you know, taking away of civil liberties, etc. That the GOP is more heavily conservative than Democrats are heavily liberal, and that the hatred of Obama is more intense than the Democratic hatred of Bush was. All of this adds up to a powerful set of emotions that the Republican Party as a whole cannot ignore, according to this analysis. No Sherlock.
It's very similar to the atmosphere before President Kennedy was killed.
Let's hope not. The good news back in the real world, an ABC News Washington Post poll finding that all these town halls and screaming have had no effect. We mentioned this earlier. 57, that's almost 60% should support health care with a public option. Americans by 51 to 37% say they'd rather see a plan pass Congress without Republican support. Only 20% of Americans now identify themselves as Republican, the fewest in 26 years. Whatever Obama's challenge is, it's a far less bleak political picture than a year ago. Peering into the economic abyss, 90% in October 2008 said the country was seriously off on the wrong track, the most in 36 years of polling. It's 54% today. No smiley face, but 36 points less grim. Yeah. And then President Bush a year ago had a career low 23%. Job approval rating. A point away from the 70-year low set by Harry Truman in 52, Obama's is 34 points better, just by way of comparison. All right. I think we mentioned this last week. Here's the kind of rhetoric you're still getting on the right on health care. Representative John Chadig, Republican of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He ranted against health reform. He said the reform will absolutely kill seniors. He said health care reform will result in Russian gulag, Soviet-style gulag health care.
Hyperbole much?
I don't think he got much health care in the gulag.
No. Does he know what a gulag was?
Oh, God.
Yeah. John Chadig was never the brightest bulb in the
Sweden and the Soviet gulags. Same thing.
Yeah.
Moron.
Right. 28 minutes after the hour. Right back with humorist Charlie Pierce, just in time, the author of Idiot America. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I like making love with the lights on.
Oh, baby. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. How often are we watching the Fox News or somewhere and thinking to ourselves,
you are
I think if only someone would write a book called Idiot America, and then there came Charlie Pierce, who said what we're all thinking. Good morning, Charles.
Oh, hi, Mama. Hi, Moots. Hey, Mama, you've gotten the real voice back.
Yes.
Close enough.
You don't sound like a combination of Marlena Dietrich and Wilford Brimley anymore.
That's a good thing. Oatmeal.
I have got clean arteries and I'm regular.
Sexy, isn't it?
I'm regular as hell. Let me tell you.
It's the right thing to do.
Charlie, I can't believe you wrote Idiot America before Balloon Boy and his family.
Not to be completely commercial here, but the paperback will be coming out next June.
All right.
However, I have to write a 4,000-word new foreword.
Buy my book.
It's very, fair, buy my book. It's very hard to keep up.
I know. I mean, seriously.
I mean, there's not a single, by the way, there's not a single mention of Glenn Beck in Idiot America.
Wow.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
How did you get away with that?
Well, he wasn't around.
Right.
Oh, I see.
I mean, he kind of popped loose when he went to Fox. And by popped loose, I meant the rivets in his neck.
Yes, but. Exactly. You know, this Mr. Heaney actually sounds like a crazy conspiracy theorist like Glenn Beck, doesn't he? Some sort of...
Well, this is just priceless. But what is far more priceless to me is the relentless thumb-sucking and moaning and forelock-pulling by the television people going, how'd this guy get so famous?
Yeah.
Because you put the freaking balloon on TV for 12 hours.
Yeah. I got mom and got bumped. I went all the way to New York, and I got bumped off TV by friggin' Balloon Boy.
Did you really?
Thank you very much, yes.
Oh, man. And I'm telling you what, I'd much rather see you flying across the sky.
Why, thank you, Charlie. Why, hello now.
Well, listen to the peanut gallery. Oh.
Well, you know, as Jim has said, what's more pathetic than wanting to be a reality star? Even being one is pathetic enough.
Well, these people if you've already been one twice.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no such thing as, like, this guy's like the Paul Lynde of reality shows. He turns up.
Sammy. Charlie, meanwhile, back in the real world, it seems like we actually are getting closer to actual health care than ever before. Is it a shiny illusion?
It's hard for those of us who are just sort of out there to tell, because every 6 or 8 hours somebody says the public option is dead, and then you know they all drink their champagne, and then someone says the public option lives, and they all go
yes,
yeah, exactly. Themselves.
Exactly. But Max Baucus really, said it's alive.
I really honestly believe you're going to get something that can be reasonably called a public option. How's that for going way out on a limb?
Mm.
You know, something that will be sufficiently public option like that the president can sign it, because I think, you know, you've seen the polls have turned completely around now. They're back to where they used to be, which is basically telling the Democratic Party to, you know, please make sense, and to please point out that there wasn't that I went back and checked. Olympia Snow didn't get one electoral vote in 2008. I went back. I thought she might have gotten a couple, but she didn't.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. That's what I've been saying. You know, why are we... and meanwhile, the kind
the
of the
queen
comedy...
The lobstermen and chipmunks is running the country.
And meanwhile, the comedy twist to this may be Roland Burris, who has nothing to lose, is saying he will not vote for anything without a robust public option, period.
Boy! I wonder who's the last one to talk to him, because you know that's exactly what happened. Is he going to add, like, another wing on his tomb, saying, you know, father of the public option?
I'm telling you.
Have you ever seen a picture of Roland? Roland has already built his tomb. You know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I did not know that.
It looks like the thing Charlton Heston built for the old pharaoh in the Ten Commandments.
Oh, wow.
I swear to God, you have to put this up on the Mom and the Mooks page. You Google image Roland Burris's tomb. It's
wow.
A huge marble thing.
Now, that's some advanced planning there.
Yeah, with Rod Blagojevich as governor, who knows how far advanced it is. But, you know, it's got things on it like, you know, Assistant Secretary of Transportation, Illinois. And
oh,
stuff
my
like that.
God,
not like
you're
the
right, Charlie. Wow.
Wow. So Charlie Pierce says it's true. All right, so what do you think about the White House's war on Fox News?
I think it's hilarious, and I think it's wonderful. I wish they were doing it with a little bit more humor, though. I mean, David Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel have been awfully sincere about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is time for somebody to, you know, just get on TV and start, like, blowing a noisemaker every time somebody mentions Sean Hannity's name. Wrong. But, you know, I think it's...
You have to use a slide whistle every time you say
absolutely.
Glenn Beck.
Absolutely. I mean, God knows you've got extra funny sound effects to spare. Hey,
exactly.
No, I think that you know, you're seeing a lot of, like, you know, backing and filling, concern trolling now about, well, you know, this really isn't something we can do, and, you know, it's sort of beneath the dignity of the White House. No, you know what would have happened in a past life? Lyndon Johnson would have eaten Roger Ailes alive on toast for breakfast. They'd never find the body. I mean, this is guys just getting on TV and saying, you know, sending guys out, actually, and saying rather sincerely, well, you know, it's not really a news operation. Well, you know, it's not really a car wash either. I mean, all these things are obvious.
Charlie, I agree. I'm going to donate my sound effects box to them, so every time they go on TV and say Fox News, they can...
Hey, now we're talking.
Yeah. They can say, or, you know, if they want to say Bill O'Reilly, then wee, and put a little red clown nose on. I agree with you. So, you know...
But this is not really, if you think about it, this is not a very funny bunch.
No.
They're very sincere and very earnest, and they work very hard. But who's the like the funny guy.
Well, the president's actually pretty funny, I must say. The president gets off some good ones.
Yeah, he can, but you know, you can't make him like the funny guy. He's got to be the straight sidekick who sings the song and gets the girls.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you put Joe Biden in front of a microphone and just wait. I mean, that'll always work.
Yeah, that's always comedy. Speaking of the president, I love this story. He went to a parent-teacher meeting yesterday by surprise. I'm just sort of curious, what's that like with the president of the United States? So Michelle was supposed to go, but the president showed up. It's like that old SNL skit, right, where they're like shoving the kid's head in the desk and that are cheating off Molière session.
I just, you know, I mean, the question is, did he go the whole way and eat in the cafeteria?
I don't know.
Because I think it's a long time since he's eaten a government-issued snickerdoodle.
Yes. or that square pizza that's made out of, like, cardboard.
Or the macaroni and cheese that, you know, that we served to our, the stuff we didn't serve to our boys at the Bulge in 1944.
Yeah, the lunch ladies at my Catholic school, boy, oh boy. The reason I think they made them look like that just to make the food look better. Because you'd be like, ew, what is, oh my God.
Actually, Mom, at my Catholic school, we had lunch nuns.
Lunch nuns?
And that was ferocious. What they saved a lot on hairnets, number one.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Lunch nuns. I can't think of anything.
They were ferocious. Do you know what kind of an underachieving nun you have to be a lunch nun?
You know, they didn't get to do all the fun stuff like beat the children with the nunchucks.
Window poles was our weapon of choice. But.
So, Charlie, chime in before you go on Afghanistan, because that's the other, obviously, you know, the big debate that is heating up. I was looking in the L.A. Times yesterday, and, boy, you have people like Barbara Lee, Bay Area liberal, and who is the conservative from Orange County?
Dana Rohrabacher.
Yeah, agreeing that we shouldn't send more troops to Afghanistan.
Was Dana Rohrabacher the guy who put, like, plastic stuff on his feet when he went to San Francisco so he wouldn't get AIDS from the shower?
No. That's the wrong guy.
I think it might have been Dana Rohrabacher. No, when I did my little thing on Eric Alterman's site last Friday, and I wrote about this. I don't have the faintest idea on Afghanistan. I just know that it hasn't, that what we're trying to do hasn't seemed to work for, like, anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seems like we're doubling down in a region that is not governable.
Yeah,
much like California at this point.
Exactly.
Except with RPGs. I hope.
Well, Jim Ward has a plan. He thinks we need to airlift anything with a vagina out of Afghanistan and then just be done with it.
Then, you know, the Taliban can kill each other, you know, so they can get to the 72 virgins quicker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of my old solutions for the whole Middle East crisis is to put every cleric on a boat and send it over the far horizon for 200 years.
Yeah.
I honest to God don't know. I mean, I really wish I could sit there and anybody who's on TV telling you they do know, they don't know either.
I know.
I suspect there are some 50-year-old retired Russian infantrymen.
Yeah.
Who know what it's all about in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody else does. I certainly don't think the Russian generals knew.
Well, you know, Charlie, that's the thing with all of us that are considered pundits. I love that when I go on TV and they ask me about Afghanistan. I'm like a fart joke comedian. I'm like, well, I feel the tribal region. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody knows.
It's not like we're the first generation to be stumped by fighting in Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America and one of our very favorites. See you next week, Charles.
I hope so. Take care, guys.
All right, honey, there he goes. Charlie Pierce.
Wow.
Yes, being on television automatically makes you an expert on everything, just like the Heenies. All right, 42 minutes. 42 minutes after the hour. What?
Are you an expert on everything?
Sure. Yes.
Computer 38.
Yes, the little Chiron underneath me on the TV says so.
Stephanie Miller, expert on everything.
I'll never forget years ago, the first time I went on Larry King, and I was on with, I don't remember, Dick Thornburg, former attorney general. I literally thought I got booked by accident. It was all these people. I was like, oh, God. I hope Larry doesn't ask me anything hard.
Oh, no.
43 minutes after the hour, back with a lot of stuff that's really hard and that you do have to know, and you will be tested on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hmm. Ken Pickles has tweeted me, could you bastard people shut your ass faces about lung butter and stop ruining breakfast across the nation? Okay.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Mucinex.
I just hate you.
All right.
And I hate your ass face.
That means I'm getting better. Okay. It's the really gross end part of the cold. 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, I've got some breaking news about the breaking news.
Oh, okay.
So, you remember CNN is a talk ban on talk radio hosts, as far as I know.
So we've been told.
Yeah. CNN has acknowledged in a statement that Alex Castellanos, you know, he's on CNN regularly. Jim, he's a Republican consultant. He frequently discusses health care on the air. He's also the media buyer for one of the ad campaigns bankrolled by America's health insurance plans, the major industry trade group currently waging war against. You think that would at least be on the Chiron or something, you know, among other things that might discredit you, like that you're a talk radio host.
Highly paid.
See, like when I'm on, it says right underneath me, talk radio host, so you know.
Highly just paid what sort tool of the health insurance.
Direct industry. You're listening to.
I guess it's kind of hard to fit in the Chiron.
Yes, this is the group currently waging war against the White House and the Democratic reform proposals. CNN says the ties will be disclosed in the future.
How about now? Yeah.
He, by the way, he's behind that Hands ad, the racially charged Hands ad. He's repeatedly appeared on the network attacking Democratic health care plans and the public option, which is strongly opposed by the aforementioned America's health insurance plans. Which he is
The Demaret ad wasn't psyops. No, it was just an accident. You're getting sleepy. Your eyelids are getting heavy. So sleepy. Demaret.
Okay.
Demaret.
I'm just saying, Chris, one would think that one could get back on the CNN as long as one were identified as having those sort of, you know, horrible connections like to talk radio.
You've been back on the CNN.
I have. I've been on the Lair. The Lair has his own rules. He's a wild man.
He's a maverick.
When are you ever going to get on the Anderson?
I don't know. The Anderson's not asked. I'm no Kathy Griffin, I guess.
Something tells me that Anderson won't ask for you to be on
him. I don't think so. No. He sometimes, when Larry goes to him, he'll say things like, "Well, it's a lively crew you got there tonight, Larry." Things like that.
Okay.
I'm too lively for him.
It's too lively for Anderson?
It's a little too lively for me.
That's even more than 360 degrees. I don't know what that is, but that's too much.
I think there are other reasons why you're not for him.
Okay, Senator Kent Conrad, Democrat of North Dakota.
I will not support any public option tied to Medicare levels of reimbursement. My state has the second to third lowest level of Medicare reimbursement in the country.
All right.
What is the use of him?
I'm not really certain. Thank God for Roland Burris.
Wasn't he the
didn't
guy?
Think I would say that, but there it is.
Wasn't Conrad the guy who said that they don't have national health in Sweden and Denmark and Switzerland? I think that was him.
Senator John Kyle, Republican of Arizona.
The bill that's being written right now is being written in Harry Reid's office behind closed doors with Chris and Max Baucus and the leader and others. No Republicans that need apply to come into that room.
Please. It's been debated in public for friggin' months and months and then years before that, for God's sakes. There's a zillion Republican amendments.
And how many opportunities have the Democrats given the Republicans to give their input? And they have refused to do so. So why have them in the negotiations?
I'm sorry, they did wave those things rudely in the president's face.
They were blank pages.
Yep.
That was my point. You see how you fell right into my trap? Okay. Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota. Oh, I guess he didn't see the latest Washington Post ABC News poll.
I think the American people have turned a thumbs down on government-run health care. I think this is a very heavy lift to try and get this through the Senate and or the House, but they want to do it.
Which people would that be?
Senator. Oh, my goodness. Almost 60% actually for the public option. Or thumbs down, as you say.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Give me some fine American music, please. We hear these stories every day. We certainly hear them on our phone lines. But this is the actual state of actual health care in the United States. I mentioned this to the congressman earlier, Congressman Smith. Guy had to join the Army. He's about to turn 40 just because his wife has cancer, and it's the only way he can get health care. He was fired. at three kids. Dad left for Army basic training in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. He was leaving even though Mom was sick with ovarian cancer. In fact, Dad was leaving because Mom was sick. This is written by Chelsea, their daughter. In March, he was laid off from his job as a raw materials coordinator for a plastics company where he'd worked for 20 years. Soon, the cost of his family health coverage was going to triple. Then a few months after that, nearly triple again. They needed coverage so Mom could fight her cancers. Dad's solution, a four-year hitch in the Army. In less than 6 weeks, Dad would enter the Army and her care would be covered. The trade-off was that he would be far away when Mom needed him home, when Chelsea needed him too. He would miss all of her high school years, the band performances, prom. Mom and Dad are Michelle and Bill Caudill, high school sweethearts, now 40 and 39, respectively. They have three children, Chelsea, let's see, little Bill, and Alicia. And so he's going to get a shot at now while his wife is sick with cancer so that they can have health care.
Someone, I forget who it was, Rachel, framed it, if we had that many people dying from terrorist attacks every month, multiple times what happened.
She pointed
on 9/11.
Out. In fact, I think it was Senator Kyle, wasn't it? I saw that too on one of the weekend shows. He said, "Well, I don't think people are dying necessarily because they don't have health care."
Yeah,
and I heard him say that, and so Rachel pointed that out last night. It's like, what? The Harvard study: 45,000 people die every year because they don't have health care.
And they're pretty smart at Harvard.
That's what I'm told.
I mean, how many 9/11s is that? 45,000 people.
Exactly. Jeff, I carry the board. I don't know. Jeff in Connecticut.
Yeah, you didn't go to Harvard.
I just wanted to, let you guys know, and all these senators know, how terrible socialized health care is. I just went to the VA Medical Center in Connecticut and waited all of 2 seconds to get a flu shot. Didn't have to pay anything. Just showed my veteran's ID and walked out.
Glenn Beck says that will kill you now. Just kidding.
Hopefully it'll kill him.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. And how's about this fine American? Yesterday, Dawn Smith, who has a brain tumor, her insurer has refused to help treat, traveled from her home in Atlanta, Georgia, to request a meeting with the CEO of Cigna. He refused to meet with her, instead dispatched his chief medical officer to listen to her, Jeff Kang. Kang admitted that Cigna's complex claims unit requires serious changes, but said his company would not even review the possibility of paying her care until November. She said, I don't understand how you can justify die now so we can save money later, because that's what it is. That's what it boils down to. Cigna has a long history of denying care for its own policyholders. One of the most infamous cases, Natalie Sarkeesian, a 17-year-old who died after Cigna refused to cover her liver transplant. When Natalie's mother requested a meeting with Cigna officials, employees of Cigna reportedly started heckling her from a balcony above the building's lobby, with one giving her the finger, rather than use Smith's or Sarkeesian's premium dollars to pay for life-saving medical treatment. Cigna has poured its cash into lobbying against health care reform. Those premium dollars are also spent on two private luxury jets, sky-high CEO compensation. Hathaway, by the way, the CEO, earned $25.8 million in 2007 alone.
So this is what they should have been pointing out all along. This is the system we have now.
Yeah.
Dawn Smith said Cigna's PR officials never explained to her why the insurance company had denied her coverage 9 times. They instead showed her a promotional YouTube video about other cases they'd successfully resolved.
Oh, what bastards.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it, for her? That was a little nice entertainment. See how well things worked out for other people, but not her.
Would it be wrong for me to wish that all those people would die of cancer? Those people.
Yes,
I would do that.
That would be wrong. Jan, in my right-wing love muffin, in up the transit from Lackport in Amherst, New York. Hello, Jan.
It's been so long. I am the bundt cake. Remember?
Yes, you're my right-wing bundt cake. Go ahead.
All right. You know, I keep listening to you guys. I've been sparing you, please, by not calling.
Thank you.
So just allow me the time. I hear this argument. And you yourself were just talking about Kent Conrad. It's not the Republicans that are causing you guys any grief at all. It is your own party. And I'll tell you what.
Any grief at all? You mean by no support whatsoever? Zero? Yeah, that's no grief, I suppose. 57 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, all right, I feel good.
StephanieMiller.com. Looking good. All new pictures. Twitter feed is up. Twitter.com/SM Show. You can email us all there as well. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. The Dow down 28 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow, even Arlen Specter. I'm telling you, Arlen Specter fearing the great power of Stephanie Miller Incorporated.
Yes.
What with the frequent appearances by future Senator Joe Sestak and all. Complete with Ned Lamont's endorsement yesterday.
That's right.
He's even ripping his old party for refusing to be a good faith negotiator in the health care debate. He said on the Republican side, it's no, no, no.
Compute says no.
A party of obstructionism. You have responsible Republicans who had been in the Senate, like Howard Baker, Bob Dole, or Bill Frist, who say Republicans ought to cooperate. Well, they're not cooperating. He also indicated he would fight hard for the public option. Why, Chris?
Why?
Stephanie Miller.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
Feeling the heat. Feeling the heat. If only somebody...
And that whole single bullet theory, I made that up. I take it back.
He takes that back, too, because he fears Jim Ward. All right. If only we had someone that knows a little something about Republican obstructionism. Why, it's Representative Frank Pallone of the great state of New Jersey. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
I'm good. Good to hear from you again.
You too.
I'm feeling plucky about health care today, Representative. This new poll, of course, Washington Post, ABC News, showing nearly 60% of Americans for the public option for health care reform.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think the support for the public option is pretty strong, and, you know, some of the polls have shown that strength. And anecdotally, just talking to people, I think that there's a lot of support.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. But the poll is finally showing, Congressman, you know, clearly with or without Republican support, I think people are getting that we are just not getting any support, you know, no matter how often the president reaches out. And I think that, you know, the key statistic in that poll is only 20% of Americans identify themselves as Republican anymore.
I know. I thought that was very low. I was surprised by that.
Because I don't think they're speaking for people. You know, I don't think they're speaking for what people need.
No, I think that's the problem. In other words, you just have this sort of banter that continues from, you know, some of the right-wing commentators. And I don't think it reflects the people. And, you know, the biggest the thing that disturbs me the most is when you see some of the, you know, some of these right-wing commentators that say, oh, that, you know, everything's fine with the healthcare system and we don't need any changes. And anybody who's had to deal with the system in any significant way knows that's not true. I mean, there are all kinds of problems.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about, I think it was Republican Senator Kyle on one of the weekend shows, literally said, I don't think anyone's dying because they don't have health care. I mean, this Harvard study just said 45,000 Americans are dying every year.
Yeah, and I mean, people
because
can't
they don't
get insurance. If they have insurance, doctors or providers don't take it. I mean, there's all kinds of co-pays and deductibles. It's just endless. So. Yep.
I like the fact that the president is calling out people on their lies on health care. I like the fact that they're calling out Fox News.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on Fox a few times.
I'm sorry.
I try to defend a Democratic point of view. But, a lot of times, it's clear that they don't favor the public option, you know, that they're critical of what we're trying to do.
Well, that's the thing, as I've often said, you know, you can't dispute Fox's rating. This is their great entertainment, but it's just like the White House saying, they are not news. Well, that's the difference. They are not news. They're a perspective.
Well, I think that, I mean, you know, look, in general, I guess you could argue that a lot of what you hear on the media is biased, but I know that every time I go on, I'm always asked questions, you know, on Fox about, it would sort of imply that the public option is not, you know, the way to go, or that the health care reform is not the way to go. So.
Yeah, it's the Fox question, Representative Pallone. It's very well known. Representative Pallone, are you still for the public option, knowing that it will kill untold amounts of grandmothers? You know, it's things like that, right?
And I get the drift.
Exactly. Congressman, the other big subject, obviously, that keeps coming up is Afghanistan. Curious your take on that. I was saying a few minutes ago that, boy, there is a far-right congressman and a far-left congresswoman here in California who both are on the side of not sending more troops into Afghanistan. What is your take on it?
Well, I've been rather cautious on it because, I think the president is being very cautious because I guess the problem is that we know that, you know, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, you know, were either are or, you know, certainly started and continue to be strong in Afghanistan and the areas nearby in Pakistan. And I guess the concern is that, you know, we don't want a resurgence of Al-Qaeda. So I think it's, you know, I've just said, look, you know, the president's got a lot of information from the military and others, and he has to make his decision. And I probably would support whatever he decides at this point, you know, whether it meant a few more troops or not, I don't know.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think it is a, you know, complex situation, as many people have said, that, you know, a lot of different countries have never been able to solve. And Rahm Emanuel yesterday said...
And the president is asking the questions that have never been asked on the civilian side, the political side, the military side, and the strategic side.
I like that myself. I think there are a lot of questions about Afghanistan, and you really got to get the strategy right before you do anything.
And I think part of his caution, too, is the government. In other words, not knowing whether Karzai and the government are really have support and what they're doing with the election. And, you know, well, I mean, again, how do you operate if you don't have a government that you can trust? I mean, that's one
right.
of the problems, too.
I guess the breaking news this morning, Afghanistan will hold a runoff election
yeah.
November 7th. So Karzai bowed to international pressure on that.
Yeah.
He will face his main challenger.
Out, you know, before
right.
he decides, you know, whether we should have additional troops too. That's a factor.
Yep, absolutely, Congressman. We always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for taking time and for fighting the good fight.
All right, thanks. Stephanie.
All right,
take care.
There he goes, Representative Frank Pallone. Great, Jim Karzai will face his main challenger, Abdullah. He's good.
The guy's so nice, they named him twice.
He's good. In the second round, after neither candidate secured more than 50% of the vote. So he has bowed to international pressure on the claims of widespread voter fraud. Okay.
We don't have anything like that here.
Yes.
That's
I was going
happens.
To make the Florida joke. I paused to let you do it. All right. Hey, back to Balloon Boy. Come on.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We did this for a show.
A sort of puzzled little boy, leading many to have concern that all of this might have been manufactured for the spotlight.
Explain the show.
I can't think of anything as pathetic than a wannabe reality star.
Yeah. Reality star is pathetic enough. Yes.
What did he mean, we did this for the show? I want to know why you were in the attic, okay, for so long, and why you, say it again.
There was a publicity stunt done with the hopes of marketing themselves and through a reality television show.
Conspiracy contributing to the delinquency of a minor, false reporting to a public official, attempting to influence a public officer. These are felonies.
I'm kind of appalled after all of the feelings that I went through, up and down, that you guys are trying to suggest something else, okay? I'm really appalled because...
He's touching the ground, 5-4-3. They're trying to grab the balloon on the ground.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland.
It's not often you hear the theme to The Greatest American Hero anymore.
You just don't get enough of that
no.
sort of thing.
Believe it or not.
All right, we will be doing a Rollicky Right-Wing World this hour, so Julie with some Fox Fun Facts for us. She watches, so I don't have to now. Okay, Mama, Beck opened Monday with unfocused low-level outrage over the White House move of pointing out that the Fox News isn't really all that newsy. Soon he was angrily pasting up matching photos on his blackboard of White House Communications Director Anita Dunning and a matching one of her time-traveling soulmate lover, Chairman Mao.
What?
Beck says his next guest is, quote, a concerned parent who attended his son's graduation at the Episcopal High School where Ms. Dunning revealed her huge perverted crush on Chairman Mao. The guest, quote, asked Fox to have his identity protected, Beck warns, so the voice might be hard to understand. Julie writes, ha ha, WTF, is that a member of Minikiss with a badly deviated septum?
Ah.
She says the wee concerned parent carped on rather half-heartedly about how weird it was to hear the Chairman Mao mentioned in the same sentence as Mother Teresa. Perhaps a new historic new low, concealing the idea of people with no other reason to conceal their identity except to avoid the embarrassment of appearing on Fox News. Julie in Seattle. Everyone's going to be in a minivan now that appears on Fox. Their friends and neighbors won't think they were, you know, on Fox.
That's right.
Welcome to Fox News. All right.
We got all the minivans.
If only they could pry Terry Jeffrey away from CNN. All right. Chris, where is my rider? Where is my list of demands to do the radio show every day?
What, do you need Mucinex or something?
Yes. Hmm. Paris Hilton reportedly demanded live lobsters on the set of her new movie. She makes a cameo appearance as herself, and she worked for a day. The producers were shocked when her team handed them a 3-page list of demands, including live lobster to be prepared fresh when she's ready to eat in a bottle of Grey Goose vodka, all for just one day on the set. We have Paris's thoughts on this, I believe.
And I, God, that's so ridiculous. My writer never said I wanted live lobsters. Ew, gross. I wanted dead lobsters. Cha. Who wants to eat lobsters that are squirming and screaming? What the hell are you doing, bitch? Plus, they got, like, claws or whatever. They could, like, rip your ears off or whatever. I did demand a bottle of Grey Goose. I mean, cha. Like, I'm going to be hanging out at the craft services munching on canapes and beluga caviar and then have to wash it down with Smirnoff or whatever. As if. That's what the grips drink. I mean, I could just drink Fiji water, but whoever acts when they're sober? Boring. I know for a fact Lindsay Lohan was completely faced when she did the Parent Trap, that whore. I mean, she was like doing a completely different accent for half of the movie. I mean, do you think we're stupid? Drunk bitch, whatever. Bye.
Hey, what are the chances Lindsay Lohan is in the celebrity drunk stack? That is just weird. She was ordered to court for failing to satisfy the requirements of her probation from her 2007 DUI. She skipped alcohol education class.
I am not a drunk.
That's what I call it every night at my house. It's alcohol education class.
Wow, so wine tasting. You just really sounded like Paula Poundstone there.
People on the left side of the plane, you're going to see a lot of good stuff. People on the right side of the plane, you're not going to see anything. Wow, I do. I sound exactly like Paula
Poundstone. Really do.
Just got to throw a little Boston on there.
All right. My hair won't do anything. I want it to type. I think that was one of her lines. Okay. John Stamos has admitted he went on Australian TV drunk. He made an infamous appearance on
television.
Aren't you, isn't that required? He went on Mornings with Carrie Ann in 2007, stunned viewers by reading her lines and making rude gestures. He was told to blame the incident on jet lag. That's a Hollywood PR person's job, is to lie, is to make up lies. He said, when I was on that morning show, I was drunk. Yes, I was on sleeping pills and I was jet lagged, but I was also plastered. Good for him. All right.
Well, isn't that your magical combination to sleep now? Sleeping pills and red wine?
And my dog's pain medication.
Yeah.
Red wine. Uh-huh. Would you like me to mention some of the people that were drunk that came on the Stephanie Miller late night television show?
Oh, my God. Oh, Isabel Sanford. What?
I won't say who. She was a little wheezy at the time.
Oh, sorry.
Oops, was I not supposed to say?
I think
sorry.
So.
Oops.
All right, 20 minutes after.
Sanford's lawyers on line two.
She's no longer with us.
Oh, well, she was drunk. Okay. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack, Right Wing World, and MSNBC's David Shuster. Oh, my God, he's dreamy. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts. With Slag Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, anyone who's anyone here in L.A. listens to the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, Christy in L.A. was in a short film with Balloon Boy's dad.
What?
That's true, and I'm pretty ashamed.
What? No! It's a badge of honor in L.A.
I guess so, but he wrote this thing, and he was actually playing a guy who was talking to aliens through his cell phone, and I played his therapist.
And, oh, no!
I know.
Okay, awesome. So how crazy is he?
Oh, God, love him. He is, and the thing is he's one of these guys that I'm at that time, I mean, my perception was he's sort of like a borderline genius, like on the verge either way of going either way, and obviously he went the way he's gone.
Wow.
Truly believes all this stuff and truly, you know, passionately believes all of these ideas and things that he's got cooked up. But him.
Didn't the sheriff say, yeah, he's nutty, but he's no professor or whatever. Right. He has like a high school education, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, anyway.
Oh, boy. Christy, let your freak flag fly, sister. Way to go.
Okay.
All right. All right. Good for you. Okay. I was in a short film with Balloon Boy Dad Guy.
You were in a film with Valerie Bertinelli.
Yes, I was. Shattered Vows. Okay. I played a novice nun. All I remember is I had to wear a wool a nun outfit in the valley in the summer.
Yeah, great.
And I'd scrub floors. That was my main thing. I was doing a novice nun work, like scrubbing floors. And I also helped, what was her name? Patricia.
Heaton?
No. The older woman. Patricia somebody. She's a famous actress. I helped her remember her lines. Because she was getting on in age then, and she would forget her lines.
Patricia Neal?
Yes, I would whisper her lines. Yes, I would whisper her lines to her. She's like, dear, what was that line again?
Oh.
And I would look up from my scrubbing and whisper the line to her. All right, which is not as good as being in a short film with Balloon Guy's dad.
No.
Balloon Boy's dad, whatever.
Or getting killed by Willem Dafoe in the Spider-Man movie, for example.
That's true. So,
yes, and after that, of course, I became a well-known sportscaster. You know, Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb... did you see he made a clock-butchering boo-boo in his team's 13-9 loss to the Oakland Raiders? He went to the line, called a timeout. They'd already used up all their timeouts.
Oops. Do you know what any of this means?
No, but I know why he did it.
Oh, my goodness. He's black.
He's black. Okay. I don't know. It's just that the quarterback that Rush Limbaugh said the thing about.
Oh, right.
So I don't even...
Okay. A clock-mangling boo-boo? What?
He called a timeout, and they didn't have any timeouts left. Don't you watch football? What's the matter with you?
I do.
All right. The D-listed writes, the permanent wart on Sarah Palin's ass cheek, Levi Johnson, is getting ready to show us his trunk and berries in Playgirl. Levi's trainer told People magazine he's training for the big event by spending time in the gym and eating loads of moose meat.
Excuse me?
Eating moose meat?
That might mean something entirely different up in Alaska.
His trainer sounds...
What? No, it's just
I'll tell
very
you what
lean.
He said.
Oh, moose meat is...
Moose meat is very good for you, high in protein and very lean. He's an avid hunter. I'm not trying to give him a bodybuilder's look. He's going to be more toned and more defined. I'd like to see him with rounder, more muscular shoulders with a fuller chest. We're going to firm his abs up and give him a smaller waist. That's for the gals, I hear, Playgirl. That's the gals?
Yeah,
as far as he knows.
That's what Levi says, the gals.
The gals read Playgirl.
I don't know one woman ever who's bought a Playgirl magazine, but okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever, Levi. All right.
Bless his little naive heart.
Bless his heart.
I don't know, there's something weird about my trainer. I know, he like grabs my ass sometimes. I don't know what's that. What that's
all right.
All about.
28 minutes after the hour, one of our very personal favorites, MSNBC's David Schuster, is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You might not be interesting, but you're definitely not boring.
33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh my God, David Schuster tweeted me. And no. Only me. I think it's a private tweet.
No, he tweeted everybody.
Oh, shut up.
Sorry.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Why? You're just getting used to this Twitter thing, aren't you?
I think he likes me.
Stephanie, if I knew I could get that kind of reaction with you, I'd give you an individual tweet every day.
Oh, my goodness, David. You say that to all the gals. David Schuster, I was in New York last week on MSNBC, and I was stalking the hallways, could not find you, however.
Oh, yeah, they keep me locked up in D.C. most of the time. But next time you're going up there, let me know, and I'll make a special trip.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tweet you about it. Hilarious. So I'm in hair and makeup, and that's when about to do the Ed show, and that's when, of course, Balloon Boy was found. And I was like, I was bumped by Balloon Boy.
Yeah, that what a crazy story. I mean, you know, and the sad thing is we got hammered from a lot of people who couldn't understand why we were being so skeptical in the middle of it. And we were saying, look, obviously, you know, we're all concerned and hope the kid's safe. But you know, this. Yeah. What about the idea that this kid isn't really, that this is all part of some hoax? And people are like, oh, it's too early to talk about that.
Yeah, like, as a newsman, you're like, this doesn't smell right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was hilarious. I think Arianna Huffington was on right before me, and she was like, I don't understand why we're talking about this. The boy is safe already. Why are we even talking about it?
Well, I propose an experiment. How about we take some members of the self-proclaimed media? Well, they proclaim themselves to be part of the journalist group, and let's put them on a balloon and see how they do.
I like the fact that it was actually a shiny object we were distracted by for several hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, no, that story, I mean, seriously, one of the weirdest you've ever covered? I mean, really?
Yeah, no, I mean, this was so strange and so sad on so many levels, and I keep saying, and in a way, it is sort of a shame on all of us in the sense that, I mean, that we've created this culture whereby people are so eager to get on TV and are, you know, to be the idea that you would put your kids out there to lie on the Today Show and Good Morning America and everywhere else and to lie to the police and lie to the media just so that you can extend your own 15 minutes of fame. It's so sick on so many levels. And I do hope, I mean, I think they said yesterday, the sheriff said, yes, there was one media organization that they're looking at who may have been complicit. Well, I hope we find out who that is and that they are hung out to dry, because any organization that encouraged this family, even unwittingly, by saying, oh, yeah, make a big splash, and that'll help you get on reality TV. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the reality of these programs now, but it's sick, and it says some really awful things about American culture these days.
Well, you know, David, and it's described as somewhere that mixes news with entertainment. Oh, I don't want to jump the gun on Fox News, but I'm just
I mean, I will wait and see who was really behind it, but you know, God forbid, whether it's that organization or any other, if any organization was essentially dangling the prospects of, oh yeah, we'll put you on TV, just, you know, waste government resources and make a big splash. I mean, what would have happened if somebody in one of those helicopters that had gone up to try to figure out what to do, if they had crashed, if somebody had rappelled down and caused it? I mean, there are all kinds of dangerous scenarios you could envision that might have happened. And
absolutely.
It's sickening.
And it's also teaching our kids that one day you too may grow up to throw up on Meredith Vieira. That should be something,
well,
too.
That was what I was. I was actually, you know, I share an office with Pat Buchanan, and it's sort of sometimes Pat and I actually get along really, really well off camera. He's a very sweet
man.
Very
funny.
When he's very funny, he's very sweet. When he's not writing his books or on TV, I think most people would like him a lot.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there watching, and I said, Pat, did you see the clip of Falcon throwing up on Meredith Vieira? He's like, no. And so I showed it to him on the desktop, and I've never seen somebody laugh as hard. I mean, he was literally on the floor laughing. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen on TV. Play it again.
I think that's the funniest thing since I saw Bob Saget get hit in the nads. Wow. So what do you think of the, you know, it's hilarious probably to people like you and me that the White House is only saying what we sort of thought was obvious for years, and that is that Fox News isn't actually news. No, they're not criticizing it. They're just saying it's just not news. It's a perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting on a lot of levels in terms of, I mean, I think there's plenty of evidence to back up the argument that the White House wants to make about Fox News. To me, the more interesting thing is, okay, what's the strategic political benefit of the White House doing this? And I sort of come to two theories. One is I'm afraid that the White House is doing this just to sort of throw a bone to progressives, because there's a progressive community, obviously, Media Matters, everyone who rightfully is keeping track of Fox and is so infuriated and annoyed at Fox claiming to be journalists. And that somehow I fear that this is the White House thinking, well, maybe we're going to go to the center on health care on Afghanistan, so let's throw a bone to progressives and let's give them Fox News. That's one fear I have. The other might be, and I think this may be a little more sort of rational argument, is that, look, the White House has had enough, and the way that they've been picked on by that organization, and when they have people, you know, when people are on a news organization like that or a self-proclaimed news organization and they are lying about basic facts about personnel and trying to get those people drummed out of your administration, and they're using every resource and every platform of that organization to do it, I've got no problem with a government official hitting back and saying this is crazy. And the fact of the matter is, I would expect the same, that when we make mistakes in MSNBC, and Lord knows we make them, officials, whether they're part of the Democrats or Republicans, they should hit back, and we deserve to be hit at when we make mistakes, and then we correct them.
I've
got no problem with that.
Yeah,
no
and you know, David, that's the thing that I think annoys me the most about Fox is, you know, we're not stupid. We get it. He's like, oh, it's like the paper, you know, we have news and then we have opinion at night. It's like, no, your news, quote-unquote news, is not really news. You know, that's the difference. I love that my favorite story is Fox News host Chris Wallace still crying that the White House continues to snub his show. And I love that this is what they do at Fox. Wallace settles instead for a debate between Karl Rove, who said, this is an administration that's getting very arrogant and slippery in its dealings with people. That was Karl Rove, David. You see that said it. That's why that's funny.
Yeah, Karl Rove is just a hypocrite number one. The fact of the matter is, I mean, Fox knows very well that, the Bush administration, they had, you know, there were people that, you know, we tried to get on our shows on MSNBC, and the Bush administration decided not to put them on. I mean, we must have tried to get Vice President Cheney or Scooter Libby or anybody from the Vice President's staff for literally like 4 years during the Libby investigation. We tried to get somebody who was sort of familiar who could come out and say, all right, defend yourself. And they refused. And then they, you know, people like Karl Rove and whatnot would pop up in other news organizations. And look, that's how, you know, were we disappointed? Sure. But we didn't whine and complain about it. That's how it's done. And there's no, you don't have a right as a news organization to insist that the president or anybody else appear on your television network. They have to choose.
Yep. I love Karl Rove went on to say about this White House, if you dare to oppose them, they'll come hard at you and cut your legs off. This is Karl Rove talking about that.
Opposed to trying to get the White House press secretary to lie about you the way Karl allegedly did, right? That's the thing is, I mean, Karl Rove, there was once a time, I think, in Washington where somebody had done what Karl Rove did or was facing the kind of allegations that he did and gave these rolling disclosures to a grand jury and had to go to a grand jury 5 times to avoid being indicted. Once upon a time, news organizations in this town had enough self-respect that they would never even dream of hiring that guy on as a pundit because he was too discredited. But this just goes to show that with the advent of Fox that the game has changed and there is no such shame anymore. And I think we're all worse for it because what happens now is people know that all they need to do is carve out some sort of, you know, high profile while they're serving, even if it's a high profile for doing things that may border on criminal, that's okay because as long as you have a high profile, well, then somehow you're going to, you can make some money down the road from a news organization that doesn't care, that simply wants the attention.
Yeah, they're going to hire a balloon dad in a second. Now, David, I don't claim to be the journalist you are, but here's what I think you need to watch for next. The big breaking story will be Roland Burris, Senator Roland Burris, will be flying over the Capitol in a silver balloon holding everybody hostage on health care. Did you hear this? He said that he will not vote for anything without a robust public option, and he's not kidding. And he has nothing to lose.
Payback is cruel, and this is one where I have a feeling that Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod and people at the White House right now are pulling their hair out because, you know, good for Roland Burris.
And David Axelrod does not got much to go, no offense.
Roland Burris, he believes in the public option like the public does. What? The latest poll, the Washington Post, ABC News, 57% support the public option.
Yep.
When you explain the public option the way it might be implemented, that goes up to 76%, and that follows other polls that said the public option was between 65% and 70%. So there's Roland Burris saying, of course, it's got to be in there or I'm not going to vote for health care reform. And suddenly the White House realizes, okay, one less vote towards their 60. And I have a feeling that part of this is the White House smarting over the fact that, I mean, they were the ones who really sort of railroaded Roland Burris and said, no, they put a ton of pressure on the guy not to seek a re-election or not to even think about it. And so this is Roland Burris's way of saying, okay, you're welcome. You know, no offense. I'm not going to vote for health care unless the public option is in there. Too bad. And what's striking is you look at Schumer and you look at some of the other very strong public option proponents in the Senate, Chris Dodd and whatnot. They've all changed their language a little bit saying, well, look, it's most important right now that we get something passed. And yes, we want the public option. Yes, we're going to fight for it. But none of them have given the sort of absolute language that Roland Burris did yesterday, and that's why the White House has a hell of its problem on its hands. And you know, look, I still don't understand. You know, when so much of the public supports the public option, why is it difficult for the president to call out some of the moderates and say, "Look, the public wants it. I want it. Yep. Go with me on this, and we'll horse trade for some things for your state later."
Exactly, I agree. Here's my favorite statistic from the Washington Post poll: only 20% of Americans identify as Republicans. Soon, you'll be doing stories on them like they're leprechauns or sprites or unicorns. You'll
well,
be.
I, And this gets, I mean, this gets to a debate we were having back in August that I, you know, I kept saying to my Republican friends, and I said, look, you know, the Republican Party is hurting itself with these whack jobs that are showing up with, you know, at the town halls and screaming nonsense, and Rush Limbaugh and some of the crazy things that Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann say, whether it's the Tenthers or the Birthers or the Glenn Beck Watchers, independents and moderates. A lot of us were picking up back in August, were turned off by it. They were disgusted by the idea that people would show up at a town hall that Obama was having and people outside would have guns. I mean, you can imagine the outroar, the outrage in this country if it had been an African-American man who showed up at a Bush town hall with a gun. But that's a whole other story. But the fact of the matter is centrists and moderates were so frightened and so sickened by these tactics. I think now it's showing up. I mean, moderates and independents, they don't want to be identified as Republicans because they see the Republican Party being defined by this lunatic fringe.
Yep, absolutely. David Schuster from MSNBC, tweet you when I'm coming to town next.
Please. We will exchange tweets and get together at some point.
All right. Thank you, David. Thanks as always.
Stephanie. Take care. Have a great week.
All right. You too. There he goes. Which is why we did the story earlier about Secret Services being overwhelmed with death threats between racist hate groups and anti-government fervor and blah, blah, blah. All right.
Did you lick David's chair when you were there?
No, it's in Washington.
Oh.
But next time I'll take the shuttle.
Okay.
45 minutes after the hour. Yes, the reason Republicans are only 20% of the population is next. It's Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is the last wad of phlegm I'm going to hack up today.
That's gross.
49 minutes after the hour.
I pity the people who clean the room up.
Yeah.
I'll take out my own garbage.
Like hell you will.
1-800-STEP-12. I will. I'll go like with a big sack like the Grinch.
Where are you going to put it? In another garbage can?
No, in a dumpster somewhere. 1-800-STEP...
Where is there a dumpster?
In the parking place. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, for God's sake.
There's not a dumpster in the parking place.
Sean Hannity on how the White House, he must be used to the Bush White House that can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
What?
Sean Hannity.
The White House rounded up its troops this weekend, and they went into battle. No, not against our foreign enemies, against the Fox News channel. And that is our headline this Monday night, press control. Now, you think with everything facing the country right now, what, two wars, a flagging economy, an Iranian regime seeking nuclear weapons, that the White House would have better things to do than bully this news organization, but you'd be wrong.
Bully? They're just ignoring them, and you're screaming like little babies.
Look at me. Stop bullying me. Pay attention to me.
Prostitute toe-sucker Dick Morris on where you can get the truth.
You tell the truth about health care.
You tell
the truth about the stimulus package, the economy.
Yes.
I mean, those all issues you mentioned are all important, but they're not going to be live or die issues. The important stuff here is that it's only here that you get the truth about what health care is going to cost you.
Live or die issues. I'm not going to be drawing out of breath. Yeah, the other one that tells the truth, Sean, you big handsome hunk. Can I suck your toe?
Okay. Thank you, Dick. Hannity again.
America, if it keeps down this path of deficit spending, reckless spending, this is becoming a banana republic.
Come on.
He said the same thing when Bush was running up this big deficit, right?
Of course he did. Oh. He said nothing of the sort.
I think I mentioned to David Schuster that I guess Fox News couldn't get anyone from the White House for Fox News Sunday, so they got the next best thing, Karl Rove.
Yeah. Who worked at the White House at one time.
There are lots of objectionable things said on MSNBC and NBC and cable channels and CNN for every president,
the cables.
For or against it. And that ought not to be the standard by which a White House determines whether or not it's going to demonize a news channel as an enemy.
Well, if you were a news channel.
How many times did George Bush go on MSNBC? I'm curious.
Never. Yeah, in fact, Dana Perino, I think it was yesterday on one of the Fox News shows, said, pretty much at the end there, we froze MSNBC out.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
She actually admitted it.
Yes. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
A little lying sack of cute. Okay, O'Reilly, wah.
The continuing reporting on radical elements within the Obama administration has clearly rankled the president and his advisors. That's what the attacks on Fox News are all about.
Oh, the scary elements like the gays. Okay.
God. All they did was cry and moan and bitch yesterday.
Yeah. Brit Hume blubbering as well.
If the White House is encouraging these people to do something that they're already doing, that is hesitate where Fox News is concerned, how do the rest of the media feel about being patted on the head by the White House and told that they're good little media organizations and we're the bad guys? I mean, I think it's kind of embarrassing. And you look at the commentary that's coming out of those news organizations, ranging from CNN to the New York Times, really kind of across the mainstream spectrum, it's all been quite negative on this campaign against Fox News. So my sense is it isn't working very well.
Okay, let's do the cars starting again. Go ahead. And Terry Jeffrey.
Not all journalists are bad. You like Brit Hume, don't you?
You know damn well I like Brit Hume.
And now the most riveting 2 minutes in television.
And they're not house.
What? All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Charles Krauthammer.
Look, CNN is patted on the head by the Obama administration's objective. CNN is an organization that a few weeks ago had fact-checking of a Saturday Night Live skit that was mildly critical of Obama, but did no fact-checking on wildly, grotesquely libelous racist statements allegedly made by Rush Limbaugh, which were not made by Rush Limbaugh.
Most of them were.
Yeah. Most of them were, actually. Oh, by the way, do you see that Al Sharpton is suing Rush Limbaugh now because Rush Limbaugh lied about him?
Yeah.
And the article's talking about, hilarious.
You know what? The term patted on the head must have been a talking point handed down from Roger Ailes because I heard like three different people on Fox News say that the Obama administration was patting the other media outlets on the head for being good media outlets.
Yeah. By the way, Bill Kristol on the Fox News, because Rush Limbaugh not being able to buy a football team, the worst tragedy that has ever befallen America. He used the NFL Players Union's opposition to Limbaugh to attack unions in general, saying, thank God most of the workforce isn't unionized. Yeah, thank God, because then maybe more people would have fair wages and health care.
Yeah. You know what, Bill Kristol? Like without unions, you would not have 2 weeks of vacation a year at least, and you wouldn't have paid holidays.
There'd be no such thing as a weekend without unions.
Say thank you to the unions, Bill Kristol.
Oh, hang on, some breaking news. We have the racist Republican of the day?
Yes.
The two South Carolina Republicans that defended Jim DeMint by saying how... he was very, Jehu-y.
Yes.
They've issued an apology, which is always funnier than the original racist thing. Hello, buddy in Columbus.
Hey, at least they didn't say they were taken out of context.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, what did they say?
Oh, the one was...
Sorry if any of you sensitive Jews were offended.
Oh, that was one I have always abhorred in the past, and I shall continue to do so in the future. Any anti-Semitism in any form whatsoever... And the other one was basically, I hope that anyone who was offended by my comment will accept my apology.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I mean, if you were offended, it's your fault.
Yeah, you know how sensitive you Jahoos are. What did I say now?
Sorry.
Okay. Oh, heavens, I'm sorry I missed this. Caribou Barbie.
Also, too, you betcha.
Penned a 1,000-word critique of the Senate Finance Committee bill on her Facebook page.
You read it?
It doesn't sound like her.
No, she didn't write it.
it's obviously
it's wonky. It's wonky, but it does not have the death panel type incendiary claims. She didn't write it. She paid someone to write her Facebook paper.
Wow.
Also, too, and there was no also, too. That was the giveaway, in addition. 57 minutes after the hour, that's it for us.
That was
Margaret Cho on tomorrow's show. Join us then on The Stephanie Miller Show.